We're still worshiping. And now we're worshiping by opening up God's word to Romans chapter 6. So let me invite you there. Last time we read this verse in a longer section there in Romans 6, but we knew that Romans 6:23, there's too much going on there to just mention it and move on. So we want to look at that in a message I'm calling the surprising gospel. And surprises, we know, can be a lot of fun. In 2004, as a family, we spent 6 months in India. And then the day came when we were going to make that trip from New Delhi to Agra, India, where the famed Taj Mahal is. And so we're going to see the Taj Mahal. In fact, in my office, there's a picture of that day when we saw the Taj Mahal. So we went out on the journey, and we had an Indian driver, and we making our way up. And in the middle of the journey to Agra, there it was. Not the Taj Mahal, that was still to come, but there it was, the Golden Arches. Yeah, I'm talking about those Golden Arches. McDonald's. It was a freestanding McDonald's right there. Felt like in the middle of nowhere on the way between New Delhi and Agra. And I had seen McDonald's in India. They were in like little shopping malls and little stores there. But I'd never seen a freestanding one there. It was just like in America. And so I asked the driver, could you pull over here? Perfect timing for a rest stop. How comforting, something so familiar. And so it was a wonderful surprise. But then the surprises weren't over. As we pulled to a stop there in the parking lot, I noticed a young man coming our way with a wicker basket. And as he got closer to the car, I noticed that there was a snake trying to come out of the basket. And so I saw it. I thought I said loudly enough for everybody in the family to hear, "Hey, girls, watch out for the basket. There's a snake in it." Sometimes in India, the snake charmers and things like that. So I gave everybody the heads up, so I thought. Unfortunately, for Joy, she did not hear the warning that I gave. And so when everybody got out of the car, I got out with the girls, and we went one way, staying clear of the basket. But Joy, having not heard my instructions, she thought, this young guy is selling something. And Joy didn't want anything this guy had, but just being a kind soul, let me show some interest to this stuff I don't want. And so she leans in toward the basket. He pulls open the basket, and up comes a cobra. A cobra, hood and all. And what happened next is a memory I love to savor, because I've never seen my wife move this fast in all the years. It was more of a run, jump, run motion. As she skittered around to the other side of the car. Listen, surprises can be fun, sometimes not so much. But as we talk about this gospel message, and we just celebrated at the Lord's table, as we talk about this, we're going to call this a surprising, an amazingly surprising gospel. In fact, let's look at this one verse we're going to focus on today. Romans 6:23, here it is. And hear it with fresh ears today. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Meditate on that with me. Think about that. As you think on this, you'll know this is more than a nice surprise. It's a pleasant surprise. This is monumental, this surprise of this gospel. Now, throughout Romans, we've been getting a lengthy description of the gospel and how it works. So we have this lengthy explanation throughout Romans, and then right here in one verse, Romans 6:23, one of those occasions in the Bible where it's distilled down. And here it is again. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now when I speak about the gospel being a surprise, that's from our perspective. From God's perspective, the gospel's not surprising at all. This has been God's plan before the world was made. That as soon as mankind sinned, and God knew that they would, God put in motion his plan before the foundation of the world. His prophets spoke much of this plan. And so you know this isn't something that God just kind of up and did. This was his plan. And when Jesus came to walk the earth, didn't he frequently say, this was done to fulfill the scriptures. I'm doing this to fulfill what was said about me. So the gospel, no surprise to God, but it's surprising to us. So a good question would be, well, why is it surprising? What's so surprising about the gospel? Well, it's because in the gospel, God offers to us amazing mercy. God offers to us surprising mercy. In other words, we don't get what we deserve. Notice with me again, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And the key word there is wage. A A wage is something that you earn. It's what you merit. It's what is due to you. And Paul here picks up and uses a word that originally was used in military circles. This was referring to, this word wage, was a soldier's pay, his rations, the food he would get, the clothing he would get, whether other benefits he would get from signing up to be a soldier, he would get his rations, his wage. And so they tell us that soldiers in this era, they weren't paid very well. But that's a good reminder for us that sin doesn't pay well either. It's a horrible price. So what do I get for my service to sin? Verse 13 tells us, when we present the members of our body as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness, what do I get from that? Oh, I get compensated for it with death. So what do I get when I say I'm going to not follow God, but I'm going to follow the evil one? Even if we didn't think of it in those terms, what do I get for that? What's my compensation? Just death. It's a terrible price. What is my due? What's coming to me? Death. And you and I need to know that information, that there's always a connection between sin and death, that our sin is never without a consequence. Sin always results in death. And sometimes, quite literally, quite physically, we see the connection between sin and death. Recently, I came upon a website that had this, the 59 famous people, or 59 famous people who died before age 40. And so they named these famous people throughout the recent decades who died prematurely. And so many of them, it was because of what we would know as sin. Of course, there were some from plane crashes and some from natural causes, but so many hastened their deaths because of reckless, sinful behavior. Janis Joplin, they have her on the list. She died at age 27 of a heroin overdose. Kurt Cobain also died at 27. They described him as a grunge rock singer and guitarist. He died of a gunshot. They also say a lethal dose of heroin. Hank Williams died at 29, the country musician, of a heart attack, they say possibly due to an accidental overdose of morphine and alcohol. Andy Gibb, we go back to disco era, died at the age of 30, heart failure due to cocaine abuse, they say. John Belushi and Chris Farley, both comedian actors, both of them died of an overdose of cocaine and heroin. Marilyn Monroe died of a barbiturate overdose. And so we oftentimes can see this connection just even in the very literal physical realm. Somebody lives wild, they throw off all wisdom, and it can lead to an untimely death. But a person here might say, well, listen, I've been sinning. I'm not following Jesus. I'm doing my own thing, and I have a great blood pressure. You know, my BMI's good, and my cholesterol's just right, and I'm happy. Here's a reminder. Listen, the payday for wages isn't always immediate. Sometimes we see the immediate connection between sin and death, but most often, payday comes later, right? So in the job you work, you might get paid every week, maybe like me, every other week. Many of the teachers in our congregation, it's once a month you get paid. So you work, and sometimes you think, is it even worth it? But then a payday will eventually come. Listen, it's the same way with sin, that we do the sinning now, we're earning something, but the payment comes later. And that's what the scripture referred to as a second death. There is a physical death, sometimes immediate, sometimes that's delayed. But then there's a second death, and we read about it in the book of Revelation. Revelation 21:8 speaks of this. It says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters, listen to this, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He's describing hell. And he says, that's what we've earned. Now, in our culture, the idea of hell is largely dismissed. It's just a cuss word that's used. But if those in our culture do believe in a hell, they believe it's reserved for people who've committed just a small list of particularly heinous sins. Maybe a child rapist, they might say, all right, that guy would go to a hell, even if they otherwise don't believe in it. All right, I kind of do now because I think that guy should go there. Or maybe a suicide bomber who straps on a vest of bombs and blows up dozens of people. Somebody might say, all right, I believe in those cases there's a hell. But notice what the scripture says in Revelation 21. Yes, murderers and sorcerers and all that, but he also includes in the list deserving of hell, the second death, he says, the unbelieving. He says the immoral persons. He says the idolaters. And then he says all liars. So what a surprising gospel. We're talking about the gospel. How surprising that every human being has sinned, every human being has earned death, even the second death, But in the gospel, we don't have to experience that. This is an amazing, surprising mercy that God wants to give to us. That in Jesus, our guilt can be removed. He can enable us to receive mercy instead of our deserved judgment. Jesus came to forgive guilty people, to cleanse guilty people, to rescue us from death. So mercy is not getting what you deserve. And that's what we celebrate together in Jesus. Now, I've told you this before. I have a real hang up with the word deserve now that I've become a follower of Jesus. So keenly aware of what I deserve, that I deserve hell because of my sin, that I have trouble using the word deserve in any place, attributed to myself. Well, I deserve this. I deserve better treatment. I don't feel entitled to anything because I know what I really deserve. So sometimes it's comical in my own mind when the advertisers, not knowing how weird I am, they advertise to me using the word deserve, and it just doesn't work for me. So they tell me I deserve compensation. So Marks and Harrison, I notice the guy points with two fingers. You know, tell him you mean business, you know. And he tells him you should get the compensation you deserve. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't want the compensation I deserve. Because I'm just thinking biblically, Jesus has changed my life. So I'm thinking, because that's not going to be very much what I deserve. Funny, too, is the mattress commercials. You know, get the mattress you deserve. I don't want the mattress I deserve. That's going to be one sorry, lumpy, dilapidated mattress that I deserve. The funniest was when I came up to a light one time and there was a plumber's truck in front of me. And they had the slogan, the plumber you deserve. And I had to just think about that one. What kind of plumber do I deserve? Man, that would not be a good situation. I can picture the condition of my house if I had the plumber I deserve. We're just talking about mercy here. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Listen, the wages of sin, what I deserve, is death. Even a second death. Listen, what a surprising gospel that through Jesus Christ, I don't have to get what I deserve. Listen, I've wanted mercy and I found it in Jesus Christ. You can find mercy too where you don't have to receive the penalty for your sin. In fact, Jesus talked this way. John 3:16, he said, whoever believes in him, listen, will not perish. Do you hear the mercy there? Believe in Jesus and you won't get what you deserve. You will not perish. But the gospel is more surprising than just that. We do receive through Jesus surprising mercy, but also surprising grace. That we can receive eternal life as a free gift. See it in the text again. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So it is helpful to understand that I have sinned, I have earned my place in the eternal hell. It's what I deserve. But because of Jesus, I'm not going to get that. How wonderful. But beyond that, not only am I not going to go to the hell that I deserve, but God wants to give me everlasting life. I get to go to heaven because I'm receiving a free gift from him. So what is this eternal life that he wants to give me and give you as a free gift? Well, it's a new life beginning the very moment you believe. And it is a life now that's never ending. And it's the opposite of hell. Hell is ongoing eternal separation from God. And heaven is ongoing joyful relationship with God, but beginning right now. Spiritual death is both a now and later thing, but so is eternal life. I get to know God now. All the good is not just to come in the future. Oh, that's going to be better, but I can already know God now as my Father. He is the good shepherd. He is the vine that we get to be branches. He is the strength of our lives. And God has so much more in the future, but it begins now. In Revelation 21, not only do we read about hell, but we read about heaven. Listen to Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. And there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful. So we get to have eternal life as a free gift. We get to begin enjoying it right now in relationship to God right now. But he says, oh, it's going to get even better in the future. what's coming for us. What's coming is all blessing and peace and joy all the time. That's what he's described for us in heaven. Living always in the amazing, awesome presence of God himself. That's what's coming for us. And after Christ returns, he will establish the new heaven, new earth, a perfected, enjoyable return to Eden is really in store for us. And so the moment you believe, you're now alive together with Christ, oh, but great things to come. Now notice again verse 23 here, Romans 6. He says, this eternal life is a free gift. Let's remind ourselves, we cannot earn it. Eternal life is not something we earn. It's something that we can receive from the Lord. We've already established that we've earned death. So what a terrible mistake it would be to acknowledge is I've earned death, to then think, well, but now I can earn heaven. It doesn't work that way. You can't take the mindset, well, I'm going to make it up to you, God. I sinned against you and I've deserved death. But now through my very behavior, I'm going to make myself deserving of heaven. You see, isn't that at least noble? No, that's misguided. You can't meet the standards. You have to receive this as a free gift from God. So works, duty, that's the wrong currency. That currency is not accepted in heaven. In fact, we've been seeing that through the book of Romans. Just a couple of reminders. Romans 3, verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or how about Romans 4, verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. How about Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the currency of heaven. You need to receive a gift from God. You need to respond with faith in him. And yet it's hardwired in human beings to believe that through my behavior, I'm going to make myself right with God. Somebody has rightly said that all the religions of the world are spelled do. D-O, do. All the religions of the world, here are the things you must do. Do these things and maybe you'll make yourself worthy enough for the deities to take you there. Do. But Christianity alone is spelled done. D-O-N-E. That Jesus has done it for us. Remember him on the cross. It is finished. Jesus accomplished all the work for us. And he leaves us only one move, to turn from our sin and to trust in him. That's our move. Our faith will bring us into this relationship, not our works. So let me ask you, will you ask Jesus to save you? Would you receive this free gift that he wants to give to you? So we've been talking about surprising mercy in this gospel message. We've been talking about surprising grace that he wants to give us heaven. But how about this final thing that's surprising? It's surprising the cost that Jesus paid to make this possible. It's not by our works we need to receive it, but Jesus' death on the cross makes this possible. It's what we just celebrated together. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, listen, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. On that list that I saw of 59 famous people who died before the age of 40, it surprised me as I read the list, they included on the secular site Jesus Christ. In all these lists, all this list of people who died prematurely, they have Jesus there. They say Jesus Christ, age 33 when he died. They describe him as the founder of Christianity. And he died of crucifixion around AD 30. And it is true that Jesus died young. He died at age 33, but his death was different than any other death on the list. Not a tragic accident, not by natural causes, not because of any sin. But listen, Jesus died for us. Jesus died for our sins. Listen to this. Jesus died our death. Jesus didn't die his own death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus never sinned. We sinned, and here's Jesus stepping in front to take the death that you and I deserve. You're probably like me. You like to watch dramas or movies at times, and you have so common in the movies, they usually do a slow motion scene where somebody's about to get shot, and there's somebody beside them, and you're thinking, oh no, it's about to happen. Then they go slow motion. Somebody shoots the gun, and sometimes in the movie, they show the bullet kind of creeping through the air. Don't you wish it really went that way? But then there's somebody beside the person about to get shot, and they jump in front of the bullet, and they take the bullet and die so the other person can go free. This is what Jesus, that's what he did for you. It was your death that Jesus stepped in front of and took for you. Only it wasn't a villain trying to get you. It was a holy, righteous God
going to judge you for the sins you committed, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus stepped up and took your death. Do you understand the cross? That's what Jesus did for you. Don't want you to take the penalty yourself. I'll take it for you. That's how Jesus died. And on the third day, he was raised back to life again, that you can know him. You can put your trust in him. Listen, do you see that his death means everything to you? And have you asked him to be your Savior so that you can get in on this eternal life that's in Christ Jesus, the Lord? Some people have this mindset: I want heaven, but I don't want Jesus. Give me heaven, but I don't want Jesus. Really, that's a great insult to the Lord. In fact, this might be your greatest sin. Do I even need to be forgiven? If you've ever thought that way, you need to be forgiven. Let me just illustrate it before we close. If I invited you to dinner at my house, and I said, I want you to come over and spend the evening with me and my family, and here's what we're going to eat, and I kind of laid out some elaborate menu, and you said, that sounds good. I'd like the food, but I don't want you. Could I have the food, but not the time with you all? That'd be offensive, right? I'd want to say back to you, listen, I'm not running Meals on Wheels. You know, I wasn't offering to bring food to you. I was inviting you in. We were going to have a relationship together. I just mentioned the food. It was going to be nice on the side, but here, you just want the food. You don't want me. Listen, notice this gift of eternal life, where is it? It's in Christ Jesus the Lord. You can't separate that. Heaven is Jesus' home. You can't go to his home without him. That's why Jesus said, nobody gets to the Father except through me. And so today, here again with fresh ears, this surprising gospel. He doesn't want to give you what you deserve. He wants to give you instead a free gift of eternal life, and it's in Christ Jesus the Lord. Today, what will you do with Jesus? Will you today decide, I'm going to turn from everything else. I'm going to ask Jesus to save me. I'm going to put my hope, my faith, my confidence in Jesus. The Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call on him right now? Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we don't want to waste this moment. So critical to think about this good news, this gospel you've offered. You've offered to pardon us all of our sins so that we don't get what we deserve. You've offered to give us instead heaven forever in relationship with you. And it's all wrapped up in what you did for us at the cross. And Lord, I pray for friends that you've brought here, that today with that now clear in their minds, they would see that their move is to trust in you for forgiveness, to be their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that you would draw men and women, young people, to yourself, even in these moments, as we call out to you for forgiveness and new life. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to sing another song.